frequency clear.
99.7.
Bringing hope to many around the globe. Transforming lives into legacy. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otetuh. And now, today's word.
My friends, we didn't come to the earth just to populate the earth. We came to make an impact. And every human being must leave an impact that goes beyond just the space he lives in. The world must hear of you. The world must know you came, you lived, and you left. When you leave, the world must feel the impact that something has left. It shouldn't be that you come to this world, you die, and nobody feels it. The world must know something has left. Somebody has left. And that can only happen when you are fruitful, you multiply, and you go ahead to face the world and make an impact in the world. That which God has given to you, friends, listen to me. That little sowing business you have, you sit in your father's front porch and you sow those nice kaba or slate or whatever style is in vogue at that time, or that little ability to cook and you make some yokogari and some nice plantain on your backyard. That little poultry farm you have that, and you have a few chickens there and you take care of them. That little ability is not supposed to be imprisoned in the backyard. It is a world-class, global impacting ability. If you keep it in the boat, it will stay in the boat. But if you are ready to step out and walk on water, that ability from you will move from the boat and get to the world. May the world know that you are here. May your presence fill the world. Everywhere you go, the most recognized name brand on earth is Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is nice, it gives job to people, but it is water, sugar, color, and a secret ingredient nobody knows about. But when I drink it, I drink water, sugar, and some brownish color. But everywhere you go, it has replenished the earth. And not only that, it has subdued. That's another, I'll get into that later. But it has replenished the earth. You hear of Coca-Cola. You hear of Nokia. You hear of Samsung. Hyundai. We are pronouncing names that are foreign to our tongue. Mitsubishi. Samsung. Nokia. What words are those? Somebody should be pronouncing a champong. Tobe kope. The car they drive in should be tobe. The drink they are drinking should be chenu. People must feel that we came and we didn't just stay in Eden. We replenished the earth. God gave that command. He says, don't just stay. He built Eden for them. He planted a garden for them. But he says, don't stay here. It's my garden. It's my place. It's where I put you. But don't die where you were born. Go out and fill the world, Adam. Eden is your home. But Eden is not your final resting spot. Replenish. Fill the earth. Touch the world. But anybody who touches the world knows there has to be change. Most Ghanaians like Chinese food. Somebody was telling me yesterday that Ghanaians like Chinese food so much. If you have Chinese restaurant, it's almost certain you will make it. But Chinese food is Chinese. If you go to China and eat Chinese food, it doesn't taste like Ghanaian Chinese food. It is Chinese and you won't like it. If you go to Italy and you taste Chinese food, it doesn't taste like Chinese food in China. It doesn't taste like Chinese food in Italy. It has an Italian flavor. If you go to America, depending on which region, whether you are in California or you are in Louisiana or wherever, Chinese food tastes local. You go to Britain and eat Chinese food, it is very British and mostly tasteless. Why? Because wherever that food goes, it doesn't just go to be what it was in China. It amends its way, it contextualizes, it adapts, and then it transcends, and it stays, and it controls the economy. So transcend. And after you've transcended, you have to defend. Protect your advantage. Protect your advantage. What God is saying is, when you take a territory, you don't lose the territory. I like the British. I don't know about you. I mean, you know what I like about the British? England is a very small island. The British Isles, the whole thing. England, Wales, Scotland, Ireland. Small. Just about Ghana. Small place. And it's an island. It doesn't even have neighbors. Its neighbors are sea. Small place. What I like about the British is that the people on this small island, tiny little island, dreamed to conquer the world. Whatever made them think so was a good thing. And prior to the Second World War, they had control over 2/3 of the world. The British Empire, the British used to say, the sun never sets on the British Empire, from the east to the west, from Australia through to Hong Kong, through right down to Pakistan, to India, to many of those countries, Singapore, right, coming through to Africa. Most of us were colonized, and way up to Canada. They colonized all of us. And now I'm preaching, not in Fanti, but in their language. And it's a small island. It's not a big country, small island. Even the good old United States of America speaks British language. The only thing is that wherever the English language goes, it gets amended. So we have our Ghanaian English, Zimbabwean English, South African English, Australian English, American English, Canadian English, and the British have theirs too. We don't care much about what they say, we say ours. All right. So you have to make sure that you defend what you get. Now let me take you through a profile of an expansion program, the one that Jesus Christ himself gave. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. Jesus Christ gave a program for how filling or replenishing should be done. Acts 1, 6 to 8 says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The growth process of the early church was not left to chance. Jesus set out for the disciples the expansion program for his church, where to start and where to end. It is a program that all of us can learn from. He gave them 4 points. First was a starting point. He says, you start in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a familiar place. It's the local place. It's a local business. Why do you start in Jerusalem? Because that is where Jesus ended his ministry. That's where Jesus died. That's where Jesus resurrected. That is where the message of the gospel was dramatized before the disciples. Jerusalem was the capital of the Jewish nation. The people there were Jews. And Jesus knew that the Jews could relate to his message because the Jews could relate to his birth and the expectation of a Messiah and the linkage to Abraham and all of that. The easiest person, therefore, to communicate the gospel was to the Jews in Jerusalem, the capital. You start in a place where it is easy for you to tell your story. That's what Jesus said. You start local. You don't start a business and make it international right from the beginning. You start local. You start in a place where you are accepted, where you have strength, where the evidence around you always reinforce what you stand for, where there is demand for what you're trying to put out. The people were expecting a Messiah. They could preach that Jesus was a Messiah. You start from the local. Then he says, from Jerusalem, you go to Judea. Judea is the second level. Judea is national, because Judea was the name that was used to refer to the state of Israel, although they were in a dispersed state and they were also under colonial rule by the Romans. Judea was generally what was used to describe the place that the Jews lived. So he says you go national, you go local, and then you go national. You work with friendly allies, people who can understand you. Now, Jesus knew that in Judea, there may have been people who didn't know about him, because those days there was no TV, there was no radio. Jesus was in his ministry, was just there for 3.5 years. News didn't travel that fast as they do now. And so there will probably be people in Judea who had never heard about Jesus. So he says, when you have finished with Jerusalem, go to the larger space, but still within the Jewish community. That's your second. Then he gave them the third level, where to go to. He says you go to Samaria. Samaria was the third level. It is sub-regional. It's like ECOWAS, West Africa. You start from Accra, go Ghana, go ECOWAS. You have difficult rivals. The reason is because the Samaria, in the days of the kings, was the capital of the northern divided state of Israel. You know, the kingdom was torn into two, and Samaria was the capital of the north. But eventually, Samaria, after the exile and the return of the people, became populated with a mixed multitude, Jews and other people who had been settled. So Samaria, the people of Samaria were like Jews, they were not like Jews. They had Jewish foundation, but they also were mixed with other cultures. So Jesus says, you work with from strength, Jerusalem, where I resurrected, to Judea. People may not have heard of me, but they know what I represent. They speak your language. You can communicate to them. You go to Samaria. There are Jews there. They're a little different. They may not fully see eye to eye with you, but they are still people you can work with. So you start from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Then he gives them the fourth, to the ends of the world. That's where you meet the foreign superpowers. Before you start going to meet those giants, conquer Samaria, conquer Judea, conquer Jerusalem. And if you look at the progression of the church in the book of Acts, it started from Jerusalem, it went to Judea, it went to Samaria, and it went to the uttermost parts of the earth, to other people who did not share Jewish values, did not believe in the Jewish Bible or the Torah, had no value for Abraham, and did not expect really think much of the Jews, because those days the Jews were slaves. And if you study the New Testament and discover the kinds of messages that were preached in all these places, the message preached in Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost, it's very different from the message that Peter preached to Cornelius, and that was preached to the Samaritans. And it's very different from the message that Paul preached to the Greeks and to the Romans. As a matter of fact, by the time Paul is preaching to the Romans in Acts chapter 17, his message was very different. In the Acts chapter 2, when Peter had to preach, he had to appeal to the Old Testament. Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited by God, whom the Bibles, the Old Testament said, and according to the prophets, he could quote the prophets because the people believed the prophets. When they went to the Greeks don't believe in any Jewish prophet. So you can't quote any prophet because it's irrelevant. So what did Paul do? He preached that classic message in the Areopagus when he started quoting nature and local poetry. He says, when I came through your city, I looked around and I saw an inscription that says to an unknown God. So I observed that you guys are very religious. Whom you call unknown, he's the one I come to manifest or to preach to you. Because all of you know that God is big and God is above all things, that he doesn't live in the things that you have created. As your own poets have said, in him we live and move and have our being. And then he went on with the message and ended up with Jesus Christ. You see where he started? He started with commenting on social development, on local newspaper stories, on poetry, but ended in Christ. In Jerusalem, they start with the prophets and ended with Christ. The same message ending with Christ, but it all begins differently. Why? Because when you go outside your Eden, you get people who don't believe in some of the things you believe in. Some of the things you take for granted, they don't share it. So you have to adapt, but end up the same way you end up with Christ. And that's how the message got out beyond Jerusalem to other places. And that's how come in a space of about 300 years, Christianity, which started as a subculture of a minority religion called Judaism, had become the predominant religion in the then known world. Almost everybody was converted. In fact, it was said of the New Testament believers, the people who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Wherever they went, something changed because they had a message. They knew how to take it from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the world. The problem with many of us is what we say in Jerusalem, we say the same thing in Judea, we say the same thing in Samaria, we say the same thing in the ends of the world. You go to a Ghanaian church in New York, and it looks like a Bubuashi church. The structure is all the same. They are thinking, and you are dancing, and you say you are reaching America. Which American will come and ayeyura behind you? No, you're not going to make progress. It's a Jerusalem message, but you are now in the ends of the world. Change. The same essence is to bring Christ, but modify your approach. Talk like the people at the ends of the world. Use your language, use your culture, use your framework, and make sure you carry your message to them. You cannot make a product and export to the rest of the world and package it as if you are selling it at Malamata Market. You cannot. You cannot. Look at the things people export. They look like they just came out from a Agbogbloshie market. And you are selling it and you are competing with Macy's and you are competing with Marks and Spencer and you are competing with Nordstrom's and you are competing with some of these big shopping lines in the US, in Europe, and you've packaged it as if you are selling it to people who are in your hometown. Or you set up a church, you run it the same way everywhere. No. No. If you're going to replenish the earth, there must be a radical change. There must be a radical change. In fact, some of my books which I write, I package them differently outside than in Ghana. Sometimes even the cover design is different. Because there are things Ghanaians like. Give it to them, Jerusalem. But when you go to Samaria and you go to the uttermost part of the world, don't behave like everybody is from Jerusalem. Not everybody is from Jerusalem. Some are from the uttermost part of the world, and you have to learn to meet them where they are.
Thank you for listening to Live and Work. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebi, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter @MensahOtebi. Email otebi@c centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.